RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Hello, listener. Welcome back to English Bulletin over RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. In today's edition, we'll bring you our program summary for today. First, we'll bring you our news, followed by a press review, Today in History, Focus, and News in Brief. We'll continue our next program with Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany. We'll conclude our program for today with Music Corner. That was our program summary for today. Stand by now for the news.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news, first the headlines. President Joko Widodo says radical Islam does not belong to Indonesia. Three provinces are being assessed to become state capital, says President Joko Widodo. Now, the news in details. President Joko Widodo asserted at the national meeting of ulemas in Jakarta on Thursday. The president said the Indonesian nation is currently a role model for other nations in the world in its success in managing the plurality. According to the president, the pride is the result of the ulema's teaching on Islam that are blessing for the universe of Rahmatan Lil Alamin. In addition, according to the president, the Islamic scholars have also succeeded in teaching the Muslims so that guidance can be implemented in the life of nation and state. President Joko Widodo also mentioned that the guidance of the scholars has also succeeded in realizing a moderate and polite Islam, not a radical Islam, but because, according to the president, radical Islam is not Islam in Indonesia.
Tuntunan yang diberikan oleh para ulama itulah yang menjadikan kita sampai sekarang ini, alhamdulillah, rukun.
The guidance of ulemas has made us live in peace and unite in diversity. Guidance for the realization of a moderate Islam, not a hard Islam, not a radical Islam. The radical Islam is not Islam of the Indonesian Ulema Council. Radical Islam is not Islam of Indonesia. Furthermore, President Joko Widodo also said that Pancasila as the ideology of the Indonesian nation cannot be disputed and cannot be separated from Islam. This is shown in the first principle of Pancasila, which recognizes and respects divine values and is full of religious value. On the occasion, the president also called on all Muslims to return to the spirit of cooperation in all aspects of life in order to realize a sovereign, fair and prosperous Indonesia. President Joko Widodo stated that an assessment of three provinces is being conducted to determine which one deserves to become the state capital of Indonesia. The discourse of relocating the Indonesian state capital of Jakarta could be an option for equitable development outside Java Island. As the most populous island with more than 60% of Indonesia's population living there, Java has been the most developed of all islands across the country. Although Java is the fourth largest island in Indonesia, it accommodates more than half of the nation's population and dominates it politically and economically. Although the president chose to not name the three provinces, Public Works and Public Housing Minister Basuki Hadimulyono said at the presidential palace in Jakarta earlier this month that the provinces of Central Kalimantan, East Kalimantan and South Kalimantan are being evaluated to become the new state capital. Indonesian Vice President Yusuf Kalla received Deputy Managing Director of the International Monetary Fund IMF, Mitsuhiro Furusawa, at the Vice President's office on Thursday. At the meeting, Furusawa was accompanied by Deputy Director in the Asia-Pacific Department of IMF, Kenneth Kang. Furusawa stated after meeting with the Vice President that they spoke about the global economy, Indonesian economy and cooperation between Indonesia and IMF. Furusawa said the meeting also discussed cooperation in the face of the annual IMF meeting to be held in the Indonesian resort island of Bali in 2018. He said the Indonesian economic growth is fairly good, particularly after the government issues a series of economic policy packages and reform bureaucracy, thereby enabling the country to achieve an economic growth rate target of 5.2%. Meanwhile, Yusuf Kalla said debts and the IMF loan offer were not discussed during the meeting. This news comes to you from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Chairman of Indonesian Ulema Council, Kiai Haji Ma'ruf Amin, on Thursday in Jakarta said that dialogue and prayer are two measures to maintain national integrity. In his speech at the national meeting of ulemas of the prayer group Hubul Wathon, Ma'ruf Amin said the Indonesian nation has been formed based on the agreement of all citizens to promise to keep the unity of Indonesia. However, according to him, the unity of the Indonesian nation was being disturbed by the existence of radical groups who wants to separate themselves from Indonesia. Therefore, he emphasized the importance of dialogue and zikir to maintain national unity.
Karena itu kita harus berusaha bagaimana menyatukan ini melalui peranata-peranata yang kita miliki. Baik itu peranata.
Therefore, we must strive to unite the nations through institutions we possess, namely state institutions, social institutions, and religious institutions. The prayer group Hubul Wathon is a place to make that efforts by means of two things. First, national dialogues and also zikir or mass chants in praise of God, prayer, and mass prayer. Kiai Haji Ma'ruf Amin further stated the importance of ulema's role in maintaining national integrity. According to him, ulema's have a big responsibility not only to God the religion and people, but also to God the state and nation. Therefore, according to him, the ulema should take the initiative when the country is experiencing disobedience. He also expressed his admiration for the first president of Indonesia, Sukarno, who was able to formulate Pancasila as a unifying form of the nation amid the pluralism. Around 700 ulemas of the prayer group Hubul Wathon attended the national meeting. Foreign workers, especially illegal workers who entered Indonesia through building projects of foreign investment, have been in the spotlight. It is assumed not to give benefit because it closes the job opportunities for local workers. It was said by researchers of Center for Demography Research of Indonesian Institutes of Sciences LIPI, Devi Asiati, after a media briefing on illegal workers in Jakarta on Thursday. According to Devi, there are a lot of issues for foreign workers in Indonesia due to the high intensity of the use of foreign workers in the projects of Chinese investment. In the last 2 years, there was significant increasing of Chinese workers from 873 workers in 2015 and 4,236 workers in 2016. Devi said further, although the exact numbers of Chinese workers was unclear, the detection of Chinese illegal workers in many provinces such as in West Java and East Java, Central Kalimantan, Southeast Sulawesi and other provinces indicated the existence of Chinese illegal workers has spread in many provinces. Devi asked the government to add the number of personnel to monitor foreign workers. The lack of personnel is one of the obstacles to monitor foreign workers. Meanwhile, head of Subdirectorate of Monitoring of Ministry of Manpower, Rihat Purba, said the government will keep monitoring the existence of foreign workers in Indonesia. If the government detected illegal workers, the government will catch and deport them to their countries. The UN Food and Agricultural Organization, FAO, has assigned Royhan Nevi Wahab, the first secretary of the multilateral function of the Indonesian Embassy in Rome, as one of seven members of the Committee of Constitutional and Legal Matters, or CCLM, for 2017-2019. A statement from the Indonesian Embassy in Rome received by Antara on Thursday mentioned that the committee would assist the FAO Council in formulating and overseeing the implementation of various policies, programs, finances, and legal issues. Wahab was formally elected to be the only Asian representative as a member of the CCLM for 2015-2017. He also became an alternate representative to the Indonesian Multilateral Diplomacy in an independent intergovernmental organization and aimed to study at the International Institute for the Unification of Private Law. Meanwhile, the Indonesian ambassador to Italy, Esti Andayani, who is also the permanent representative of the Indonesian government at FAO, welcomed the appointment. The Ministry of Energy and Mineral Resources has estimated that Indonesia does not need to import gas in 2019 following additional productions from Jangkrik Field, Tangguh Train 3, and Wasilla Block. Director General of Oil and Gas Wirat Majapuja said on Thursday that some gas fields can produce 600 million cubic feet per day. Hence, most likely in 2019, Indonesia did not need to import. He explained that the Jangkrik field will have a production capacity of 600 million cubic feet per day in 2018. In addition, the Tangguh Train 3 field will start producing gas by 2020 and will add up to 3.8 million tons per annual, while Wasilla Block's production is estimated at the 9.5 million tons per annual in addition to 150 million cubic feet per day. According to Puja, Indonesia does not have to import gas in 2019 since the demand for domestic gas is not as high as estimated. The gas requirement for the 35,000 megawatt electricity program has also decreased, as the gas power plant projects have not been completed. Listener, that was the news. I'm Nuka Kusumawati.
Hey Michelle, what are you reading?
Oh, hi Steve. I'm reading an Indonesian travel brochure. And guess what?
What?
It's really fun and challenging, you know?
Really?
Yeah, all scenery looks so beautiful. Now I can decide where to visit.
Well, how about Joglo Semarang? It is short term for Yogyakarta, Solo, and Semarang.
Oh.
And it is one of the 10 main tourism destinations in Indonesia.
Okay, I'll try to Joglo Semarang. Make your dream of having a holiday in Joglo Semar, Indonesia come true by joining VOI International Quiz 2017. Answer the following question. 1. Please mention some VOI programs and which one is your favorite. 2. When do you listen to VOI and in what language? 3. How do you listen to VOI? 4. What is your suggestions for VOI? 5. Tell us briefly, what do you know about Indonesia?
Send the answers along with your personal data, passport number, and passport expiry date to VOI International Quiz at voi.co.id. VOI International Quiz at voi.co.id before August the 1st, 2017. See you in Indonesia.
Hello, listeners. Nice to meet you again in our program, Commentary. The title of commentaries today is Will French Involvement Soon Solve Qatar's Conflict? Europe begins to involve in the Qatar conflict and its neighboring Gulf states, following Germany and Britain, France also start paying attention to this unending crisis. Reportedly, French Minister Jean-Yves Le Drian will visit the Gulf countries they are completing. He will try to solve the diplomatic conflict between Qatar and Saudi Arabia and other Gulf states. In his diplomatic trip, Minister Le Drian will not forget Kuwait, which has been committed to mediating the neighboring countries since his involvement. In his statement, Minister Le Drian stated that during his 2-day visit, he hopes to strengthen the position of Kuwait in mediating the conflict between Qatar and Saudi Arabia. Essentially, France wants at the discolonization of a imminent conflict that leads to peace among the Gulf states. The hope is in line with the United States, Britain and Germany calling for immediate end to the conflict through dialogue, while the United States and Europe want immediate end to turmoil of Saudi Arabia and Qatar. The answer is not only because of diplomatic relations, but also because there are economic considerations. Saudi Arabia and Qatar are the two countries that are economically trading partners. In addition, the United States is deeply interested in Saudi Arabia and Qatar in a geopolitical perspective. Prolonged conflict will tend to strengthen the rule of Turkey and Iran. Turkey has sent 197 cargo planes, 16 trucks and one ship to Qatar to meet the daily needs since the conflict broke out last month between Qatar and other Gulf countries. This was exposed by Turkish Economic Minister Nihat Sepeci. Turkey's moves is a real support for Qatar. The longer the conflict occurs, probably the more other countries will involved. However, all such involvement may further complicate the conflict and increase the escalation of hostilities. This will depend on Qatar and Saudi Arabia and its allies in resolving their own conflict. Listener, that was commentary read by Rahmana. Thanks for listening.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
Today in history. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Hello, listener. Nice to see you again with me in our regular Today in History over RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia. We start from an event on 14th of July 2004 when Hugeng Imam Santoso died. Hugeng was chief of the Indonesian National Police. He was famously known as the honest and bravest police officer in Indonesia by media and the people. He graduated from his Pekalongan in 1934 and continued to Mulo Pekalongan. In 1937, after graduating from Mulo, he continued to AMS Yogyakarta. In 1940, he continued his study to RHS in Batavia. In RHS, he joined a student organization called USI, or Unitas Studiosorum Indonesiensis. He joined the Marshall General School in Military Police School, Port Gordon, Georgia, the United States. In April 1942, he returned home because RHS was close by Japanese. Chief of the DPKN Police Office in Surabaya, East Java in 1952. He became the chief of Bareskrim in Medan, North Sumatra in 1956. In 1959, he followed the Mobile Brigade Training School and became a Directorate Staff II in the National Police Headquarters in 1960. He became the chief of the Immigration and Customs in 1960, became Minister of Economics in 1965, and became Minister of Secretary in the main cabinet in 1966. Then becoming police chief, Hugeng Imam Santoso reformed a number of fields that related to organizational structure at the police headquarters. As a result, the new structure is more dynamic and communicative. Hugeng Imam Santoso died on July 14, 2004. The next event was in 1958 when Iraqi coup d'etat occurred. The July 14 Revolution, or the 1958 Iraqi coup d'etat, took place on July 14, 1958 in Iraq, resulting in the overthrow of the Hashemite monarchy established by King Faisal I in 1921 under the auspices of the British. King Faisal II, the Regent and Crown Prince Abdullah, and Prime Minister Nuri al-Said were assassinated during this coup, a result of several different grievances with Hashemite Iraqi policies. The coup d'etat established the Republic of Iraq. From July 14, 1958 until 2003, Iraq remained a de facto Arab nationalist and socialist one-party state. And the last event was in 1986, Dr. Mahdi Shirazi died. Dr. Mahdi Hamidi Shirazi was a poet, author, and researcher of contemporary of Iran. Dr. Mahdi Hamidi Shirazi died on July 14, 1986. Mahdi gained a doctorate title in the field of Persian language and literature. Dr. Shirazi wrote many books about Persian literature, among others about introduction of streams of literature, criticism, history, art, and poetry. That was Today in History.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Focus, Daily News and Events.
Listener, welcome to Focus. Today we'll talk about Indonesian government curbs high-risk import. The Indonesian government tries to curb high-risk import to create clean, transparent, and justice business practices in Indonesia. To realize it, Finance Ministry, through Director General of Customs and Excises, hold a task force for controlling high-risk import as a form of the implementation of operational activities. The task force involves many parties, among others, Coordinating Ministry for Economic Affairs, the Office of the Presidential Staff, the Corruption Eradication Commission, KPK, the Indonesian National Police, the Indonesian Armed Forces, the Attorney General's Office, and the Financial Transaction Report and Analysis Center, PPATK. Finance Minister Sri Mulyani said this in a press conference after a coordination meeting with the leaders of seven institutions in Jakarta on Wednesday, as released by Media Indonesia. High-risk import are the illegal imported activities, which can damage the competitiveness of domestic industries, because the price of the products will be more expensive than the illegal imported goods. According to the Director General of Customs and Excises, Heru Pambudi, the categories of high-risk vulnerable goods are textiles, electronics, and liquors. Minister Sri Mulyani further said, the synergy between agencies of the task force members will be a vital thing to tighten supervision and realize the success of control. This is also a signal to the suspects that they have no more gaps can be utilized. Minister Sri Mulyani asserted, her ministry cannot work alone. It has to coordinate with other parties and giving signals to the entrepreneurs that they want to serve well in carrying out legal economic activities. Therefore, the Finance Ministry will improve the system, behavior of officials, and their performances. Minister Sri Mulyani expected, by curbing high-risk import, the volume of illegal goods circulation can be decreased so that there can be a supply gap that can be fulfilled by domestic production, so that the state revenue will be more optimal and encourages the domestic economy. Vice Chairman of the Corruption Eradication Commission, Saud Situmorang, in a press conference, ensured that the Corruption Commission continued to control disintegrity and inefficiency condition. In line with that, then High Commander General Gatot Normantio expressed his support. Normantio also said that the Ministry of Finance has made a strategic policy. Meanwhile, the Police Chief General Tito Carnavian supported an effort of high-risk import task force. General Tito said there are two issues in the case, namely the system and the suspect. The suspect usually involves a number of stakeholders. Head of Presidential Staff Tetan Mastuki saying the coordination among the agencies is important to ensure thorough supervision to improve the state revenues. Attorney General M. Prasetyo said the illegal export-import must be stopped, since the illegal practice could harm and shut down the domestic industry. On the other hand, the state revenues from the tax sector, which is obtained from the import of goods, is not optimal. The head of Financial Transaction Reporting and Analysis Center, PPATK, Ahmad Baharuddin, will conduct supervision along with the customs and excises by doing follow-the-money approachment through the financial report related to the high-risk import transaction. Listener, that was The Focus.
Welcome back, listener. Here is news in brief. President Joko Widodo stated that an assessment of three provinces is being conducted to determine which one deserves to become the state capital of Indonesia. Indonesian Vice President Yusuf Kalla received Deputy Managing Director of the International Monetary Fund, IMF, Mitsuhiro Furusawa, at the Vice President's office on Thursday. The UN Food and Agricultural Organization, FAO, has assigned Royhan Nevi Wahab, the first secretary of the multilateral function of the Indonesian Embassy in Rome, as one of seven members of the Committee on Constitutional and Legal Matters for 2017-2019. The Ministry of Energy and Mineral Resources has estimated that Indonesia does not need to import gas in 2019 following additional productions from Jangkrik Field, Tangguh Train 3, and Masela Block. Listener, that was News in Brief over RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. I'm Nuka Kusumawati. Thank you for listening.
Hey, Michelle, what are you reading?
Oh, hi, Steve. I'm reading an Indonesian travel brochure. And guess what?
What?
It's really fun and challenging, you know?
Really?
Yeah. All scenery looks so beautiful. Now I can decide where to visit.
Well, how about Joglo Semar? It is short term for Yogyakarta, Solo, and Semarang.
Oh.
And it is one of the 10 main tourism destinations in Indonesia.
Okay, I'll try to Joglo Semar. Make your dream of having a holiday in Joglo Semar, Indonesia come true by joining VOI International Quiz 2017. Answer the following question. 1. Please mention some VOI programs and which one is your favorite. 2. When do you listen to VOI and in what language? 3. How do you listen to VOI? 4. What is your suggestions for VOI? 5. Tell us briefly, what do you know about Indonesia?
Send the answers along with your personal data, passport number, and passport expiry date to VOI International Quiz at voi.co.id. VOI International Quiz at voi.co.id before August the 1st, 2017. See you in Indonesia.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id. You're still tuned to the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, broadcasting to the frequencies of 9525 kHz, 11.785 kHz, and 15.150 kHz. You can also listen through our audio streaming at www.voi.co.id. Here is our next program, Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Welcome back, listener, to Indonesian Wonder. Today, we'll invite you to culinary travel in East Java. So stay tuned with us at RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Besides through shortwave, you can listen to our broadcast at www.voi.co.id. Listener, traveling to beautiful places in Indonesia will be less complete if you do not taste the typical culinary of that place. For example, if you visit Banyuwangi, East Java, you must taste the typical culinary of using community, the local people of Banyuwangi, such as sego tempong, rujak soto, and pecel pitik. And there is one more delicious typical culinary, namely jangan leroban. This culinary is quite rare because the process is quite difficult and it needs patience. The process of jangan leroban is usually made together with the making of pure coconut oil from coconut milk, or the using people call it kelentik oil. The pure coconut milk will be heated until the oil comes out. Then the oil and the dregs are removed and filtered. The water from the filter results will be the main ingredient of jangan leroban. For the vegetables, you can use any vegetables, but the using people more often use the heart of banana that still is young, or called otong, fern, and sikil leaves. To cook jangan leroban, there are no specific spices to use in this food. You can only add crushed galangal pieces, lemongrass stalks, whole chili peppers, sugar and salt into the residual water of kelentik oil. We don't need shallots or garlic, but the sikil leaves cannot be forgotten. The sikil leaves are the flavor of jangan leroban. The function is like the bay leaves. The shape looks like betel leaves, but the leaves are limber and they grow wild in Banyuwangi. After all the spices are complete, all vegetables are cut and put into the water from the remaining coconut oil making. Then it is cooked until the vegetables are cooked. Thank you.
Listener, when it is cooked, the gravy is white and not too thick because it does not use coconut milk. The savory taste of coconut is still very dominant. This culinary will be more delicious if served with warm rice and pepper sea fish as the side dish, tofu and tempeh. Unfortunately, now the local people rarely make jangan leroban because people prefer to use coconut oil from the market instead of making their own at home. But if you are lucky, you can enjoy jangan leroban and sambal blotong at local people's house in Banyuwangi. One of them is located on Licin Village District of Licin Regency of Banyuwangi. Listener, that was Indonesian Wonder discussing about jangan leroban. We will see on next Indonesian Wonder with another interesting topic. See you.
Miscellany on Indonesia, a segment featuring various actual information.
Hello, listener of Better Remote Service, Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are, we meet again in Miscellany. Listener, after the success of Tour de Flores 1 in 2016, this year, Tour de Flores II will hold international cycling competition on July 14 until 19, 2017. Closing of the Tour de Flores II is on July 19, 2017 at 14 local time, and people and participants will drink the coffee together. This drinking coffee event is proclaimed as a movement of a million cups of Flores coffee, which becomes our topic in today's miscellany. Stay tuned. Listener, international cycling race Tour de Flores II, held on July 14 to 19, 2017, will cover a distance of about 200 kilometers. The purpose of the Tour de Flores is to promote tourism in Flores, and there are many things that become the targets. One of them is to introduce Flores coffee through a movement of a million cups of Flores coffee. This movement is aimed to raise the potentials of Flores coffee to the world level to be better known and liked. One of the Million Cups of Flores Coffee Movement Organizing Committee, Jos Gallen explained that there are 9 regencies participated in this movement. There are regencies of East Flores, Ende, Sika, West Manggarai, East Manggarai, Manggarai, Ngada, Nagekeo, and Regency of Lembata. Flores coffee itself is known as the savory and delicious coffee because it is planted over 500 meters to over 1,000 meters above sea level. By getting direct sunlight for almost of the year, the coffee plants in the Flores produce good photosynthesis. So, Flores coffee is always sought by many people. Some areas in Flores, especially Bajawa, the Regency of Ngada, Manggarai, Boae, Regency of Nagekeo, and Leo, Regency of Ende, become production centers of Robusta and Arabica coffee.
Listener, according to the history, Flores has tradition to serve the coffee for the guest. In Manggarai, there is a term, kopi mane, which can be translated as an afternoon coffee. It means that the coffee is a mandatory drink for Manggarai people in the afternoon. Kopi mane describes friendships in a coffee-drinking atmosphere. In other words, coffee is the inseparable identity or element from Flores people's life and culture. A movement of a million cups of Flores coffee is the momentum to introduce to the world about the existence of export-quality Flores coffee. Besides becoming domestic consumption, this coffee can be consumed by the world community of coffee lovers. Hopefully, this movement is meant to pursue not only Muri record in the form of a certificate, but also telling the world that Flores coffee is indeed export quality, delicious and incomparable joy. Flores coffee is worth selling and being hunted by coffee lovers in supermarkets, Starbucks and so forth. Listener, that was our miscellany for today's with the topic of movement of a million cups of Flores coffee. We will see you in the next our miscellany. I'm Nika Kusumawati. Sampai jumpa.
We'll meet again tomorrow with another miscellany on Indonesia.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, listener of RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are. Welcome back with me, Anis, in our regular segment of Music Corner, which introduce you to Indonesian music, both traditional and modern ones. To initiate our today's Music Corner, let's listen to the Indonesian Islamic song locally known as Qasidah, performed by the Indonesian popular pop dangdut singer Cici Paramida, entitled Salawat Nabi. Not many singers in Indonesia are able to perform Qasidah song, and Cici Paramida is one of the very few singers who's able to sing this type of song perfectly. Listener, to begin our program, here is a song by Cici Paramida. Happy listening.
Apabila engkau berjumpa
Listener, you've just listened to the song entitled Salawat Nabi by Cici Paramida. Cici grew up listening to her mother to sing qasidah songs and joined qasidah group and mastered the genre. After mastering qasidah, Cici then switched to try another genre, namely dangdut, and she mastered it fast. Cici said there are similarities between qasidah and dangdut. In Indonesia, there are many qasidah groups and singers, but they are never as popular as dangdut singers or groups. Cici Paramida officially debuted in 1993, and she still actively sings dangdut songs until now. Listeners, let's listen to another song by Cici Paramida entitled
RT 3.
Listener, thank you for still being with us, the Voice of Indonesia, in a segment of Music Corner, and we are now giving you information about Indonesia's female dangdut singer, Cici Paramida. Her existence in Indonesian music scene is acknowledged by the Indonesia Dangdut Lovers after releasing 10 albums throughout her career. Among the songs she sang, there is one special song composed by Guru Soekarno Putra, the son of Indonesian first president Soekarno. Listener, to wrap up today's Music Corner, let's listen to a song by Cici Paramida entitled Wulan Merindu. Have a nice day and sampai jumpa lagi.
Tak tahan rasa.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id. Or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, or P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10011, Indonesia. And join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, VoI Indonesia.